Good morning. I'd like to ask you all to take out your standard operating procedures for being a Christian. I love the way Gene expressed that about God's Word. And what I want to talk about this morning is begin a series of lessons on what we find about the history of the church. Is it important to know our history, our background? And I'll ask you a question, don't answer aloud, but where do we find the history of the church? Where do we find it? Right now on Wednesday, we are studying the book of Luke. And I'd like to begin to examine very closely what we find about the church in the book of Acts. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, we are told, my people are destroyed for lack of what? Knowledge. And today there are many people who sincerely believe they are serving God, but they are not. And the only way that we can know if we're serving God is to turn to His Word. And I have to confess, I've been preaching now for over 30 years. And I find one of the most difficult subjects to preach on. You think, you know what it is? The most difficult subject? Any idea? The Holy Spirit. And I sometimes shy away because I don't want people to be confused. I apologize. I'm not going to shy away from it anymore. I'm going to make sure we understand what the Bible teaches about the Holy Spirit and what He does today. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. And here, again, we need to know what God has commanded us. He says to Timothy, you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, that from a childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation, through Christ, which is in Christ Jesus. Through salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. So he's emphasizing to Timothy, the way you know about salvation is through what? The Scriptures. And then he says in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We must know the Scriptures. And I'm going to tell you right now, as I begin to work on these series of lessons, man, I'm getting more energy. I feel it. And the reason being, everything I read in the book of Acts is historical. This is what happened. And I want you to think about that as we begin this morning. This is what happened. This is how the church began. This is how the message was spread throughout the world at that time. There were people who were willing to die so people could hear the message of Jesus Christ. And there were people who did die. So we can see this, and what I love about it, it is history. These things took place. So when we read this and we look at this, you can be built up and encouraged. And I am so encouraged and so built up. Because I can see what Jesus promised and what He did. And because of His promises, we can see what His apostles did and those who followed His teachings. Look at 2 Timothy 2:15 again, Paul speaking. He says, be diligent to present yourself approved of God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we need to make sure we are doing everything we can to be diligent, to be rightly dividing His Word. Let's turn to the book of Acts. Acts is a kind of a bridge between the Gospels and the rest of the epistles. Luke wrote both of these books, and he did it so well. He's telling us exactly what took place after our Lord and Savior ascended into heaven, And the apostles began to preach the word. And I'd like you to think, because it's the only inspired record of the history of the church that we have. Without it, we wouldn't have a clear idea of what took place. We would not understand completely how the early church began, or what his apostles did after he ascended into heaven. And we see here that the early church spread from Jerusalem to Rome and other parts of the world, as we find this in the book of Acts. Also, and this is what I dug into, it's known for its historical accuracy. The details that we find are completely accurate. The political titles, the geographical information, all of it is accurate. He spoke about trials. He spoke about riots. He spoke about the persecutions and also some of the journeys that were taking place at this time. So it gives us an invaluable perception in how the gospel was spread through the Roman Empire at that time. So we as Christians need to understand exactly what took place here. Now, many times in the book of Acts, we're mentioned about the Holy Spirit. And that some people actually want to call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Some people even want to do that. So it helps us to understand the promises that Jesus made to his disciples, and also what the Holy Spirit did and was actively involved in the spreading of the gospel. Do you find it difficult sometimes to wait on things? I hate to get in lines and wait. I hate it with a passion. Sometimes I'm driving my grandson home and, "Grandpa, will you take me to such and such a place?" I say, "Sure, we'll try." And I drive over there and guess what I see? 20 cars lined up and 50 cars. "Am I going to wait there?" "No, I'm not." And I say, "Sorry, it's too long a line. We'll go home." I hate waiting in line. Now imagine, the apostles were commanded to wait in Jerusalem, weren't they? They were waiting for what? Waiting for a promise. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. And again, everyone here, please open your book, look at it, read it for yourself. That's what's important. When I first obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, this book was completely almost new to me because I had never read it. And I had to read it now because I needed to know what it said. I wanted to know the history accurately as recorded in God's word. And I didn't want to hear it from somebody else. You know why? They could be lying to me. They could be wrong. But when I read it in God's word, I know that God's word is true. So I can have that confidence. In Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, again, Luke is writing this. He said, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after which the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he chosen, to whom also he presented himself alive after his suffering with many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' Therefore, when they can't come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times of seasons which the Father has put to his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.' Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And when they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will also in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. And when they returned to Jerusalem from that mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Now, they had to wait 10 days for this promise that Jesus had made to them. But they did not yet understand what that promise meant. And we want to consider several things that they did not comprehend. Now, I want you to put yourself in their position. They had been with Jesus for how long? How long? 3 years, his earthly ministry. He had taught them many things. They had witnessed many things. Do you think they remembered everything they witnessed and he taught them? Probably not. But now we see that they were made a promise. They were told to wait for the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 4 again in Acts chapter 1. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. But you shall receive power from the Holy Spirit as it comes upon you. And you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now think about this for one moment. And this is so important to think about. Who is he speaking to in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8? Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to his apostles. And he tells them many things. This promise is now going to take place. Now, there are people today who believe that they are apostles. There are people today who believe they have been baptized in the same way by the Holy Spirit. They believe that because that's what the Bible says here. And I think it's interesting because we got to think this completely through. He commanded them to do several things. Now, one thing he commanded them, and I noted this as I was reading them, to receive this promise, he said, you wait where for 10 days? Wait, where do you wait? You better wait in Jerusalem. Now, I don't know of anybody who has claimed to be an apostle or have been baptized by the Holy Spirit who waited in Jerusalem for that time period. Do you? I don't think so. Because if you're going to receive this promise, you have to wait. And he told them, you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit. You will receive this promise. He's not speaking to you or me or anyone else but the apostles here. Let's turn to Luke chapter 24. Because we need to remember that the book of Acts, this history, begins after we find the same narratives in the Gospels. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are an account of Jesus' ministry in this world. And the apostles are telling the people exactly what they saw, what they heard by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And look at one of the promises we find in the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 49. He says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So they're going to be endued with power from the on high. You wait there in Jerusalem. Let's turn now to Acts chapter 1 again, verse 2. Because in Acts chapter 1 and verse 2, we find here, until the day which was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he presented himself. So again, he had given these commandments to the apostles he had chosen. He's speaking about who? Those specific apostles who were with him when he walked upon the earth. That's who the commandment is given to. Now, back when Jesus was with the apostles, on the night he was betrayed, he repeatedly told them when he went back to heaven, he would send the Holy Spirit to them. Let's turn to John chapter 14. Again, we want to talk about the Holy Spirit. We're not going to go in detail, but the Holy Spirit plays an important role then and today. Different ways, but it plays an important role. In John chapter 14 and verse 16, speaking to his apostles, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." He's promising them a helper. Go down to verse 25 in John chapter 14. "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you." Again, who's he speaking to? His apostles. He's going to send them. He's going to teach you. He's going to bring into remembrance all the things that I taught you. Now let's turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Again, on the night he's betrayed. John 16, verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you in truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Jesus is going to send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, when he departs. Go down to verse 12 in John chapter 16. "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into some truth." Is that what it says there? No! He will guide you to what? All truth. And who's he speaking to? He's speaking to his apostles. Now, please remember this. They were brought and exposed to all truth. All truth. Continuing in verse 13, "He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." So again, it's important to note, he promised to give them power from on high. He promised to guide them into all truth. And who was he speaking to? He was speaking to his apostles. Was he speaking to you and me? No. He's not going to give me the Holy Spirit in the same way he did his apostles. He's not going to do that in the same way. How do we know all truth that he wants us to know today? How do we know it? Only through his word. That's it. And the Holy Spirit, by inspiration, gave us the word we have today. And that's how it's communicated. Now, this special help from the Holy Spirit would help them and equip them to spread the gospel throughout the world. It helped to guide them directly by inspiration. And because of that, they were able to go out and they could speak. Could they pick up the New Testament and read it and quote it to people? No. They spoke from direct revelation from God through the Holy Spirit. That is so important because Jesus promised to send them what? To send the Helper who would guide you into all truth. We don't have it now, but we'll talk about it later. Don't worry about what you're going to say. I will tell you. I will give you what you're going to say. Now think about that. Peter, Paul, the apostles, standing, you know, between people who were trying to harm them. And God says, I'm going to give you what you need to know to speak when the time comes. Does that happen today? No, it doesn't. Now, I want to tell you, there are people who claim they speak that way. God gave me this message. God told me this by his revelation. God spoke to me. The only way God speaks to us today is how? How? Through his word, that's it. Nothing else. So again, we need to be able to perceive that and understand it. God sent his son, Jesus. He spent 3 years with his apostles. But that wasn't enough time. They forgot stuff. So he sends the Helper to bring them into remembrance of all things they were taught, to guide them into all truth. they were going to need some help to do the things God wanted them to do. Now, even though they waited there before Pentecost, and they were sitting there, they were waiting for the promise to come, do you think they knew everything? Or no, they had lots of questions. They needed to learn what God wanted them to do. And I want to point this out to you. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Because here we can see one thing. There's many, many things, but one thing in specific they were confused about. In Acts chapter 1, verse 6, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Were they confused? Do they have understanding? No. Now, I'm going to say this. We're going to be looking at this in much more detail. Look at that question again. Will you restore the kingdom of Israel? And you can study in detail. There's many misconceptions they had about this promise. And that confusion would be cleared up only when the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. And we can see here the crucial role the apostles had in spreading the good news about the kingdom of God. I'll say it again. The kingdom of God. And the apostles needed to be guided into all truth. How? By the Holy Spirit. By direct inspiration. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning verse 19. Now therefore, Paul's writing to the Ephesians, you, talking to the Ephesians, are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You Ephesian saints, you Christians, are members of the household of God. Look at verse 20. Having been built on the foundation of who? The apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Did the apostles have a role? Did the apostles have a role? Yes. Built on the foundation of what? The apostles and the prophets. They went out and they spread the good news about the kingdom of God. And speaking to the Ephesians, it says you are members of what? The household of God. The apostles have an important role. Yes, they did. And they were able to do that because they had the power of the Holy Spirit, the direct influence of the Holy Spirit. Continuing, these words of Paul tell us that the teachings that the apostles presented were a cornerstone that laid the foundation for his church that we have today. This is critical. We might have somebody here who's not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a new Christian. And we need to know what the church is. Is that a true statement? Yes. When I obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I was totally confused about all this. When we first obey the gospel, do we know everything we're supposed to know about the church? About what God instructed us? No, I knew nothing. And I had to read his word. And it's so beautiful because the book of Acts tells us the characteristics and the teachings of his church. And that's critical. Because Jesus is the foundation of the church. How many churches are there? 2,070? 1,050? Am I getting closer? How many churches are there?
One.
And that one church is found in his word. And we find the history of that one church where? In the book of Acts. That's where we find it. And that's so important. We need to understand the role of the apostles and the role of the Holy Spirit in the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today there's a lot of confusion among people about what an apostle is and also the role of the Holy Spirit in the church. And we have especially an issue about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk about that later because it's so important. Because people will misapply the passages of scriptures here. And the only way that you can be safeguarded from hearing these misapplications and false teachings is to read the word yourself. That's it. To read the word yourself. As we go through the book of Acts, I hope to clear up a lot of these misunderstandings. Let's look at Acts chapter 1. Again, Acts chapter 1, verse 1. And let's look at something very important here. I'm sorry, I used the word important. My wife gets really upset when I do that. It's very critical. It's very, what's another word for important? I don't know. Anybody?
Essential.
Thank you. I will try to do that. It's essential that we know who is being spoken to. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandment to who? Given commandment to the apostles whom he had chosen. Who's he giving his orders to? To his apostles. Now look at verse 3. And again, as you reread these next verses, I want you to think, who is he speaking to? In verse 3, to whom, the apostles, he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them, who's them? The apostles, during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, after being assembled together with them, who's them in there? Being assembled together with them, the apostles, he commanded them, that is the apostles, not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. At which he said, you, again, the apostles have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you, again the apostles, shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now we're going to go into the events here of the second chapter in a future lesson, Lord willing. But it's essential here to know who is being spoken to. Who's being spoken to in Acts chapter 1, verses 3 through 5? The apostles. And he told them, many infallible proofs are going to be given to you. You're going to be assembled together. Don't depart from Jerusalem. You're going to receive the promise that I gave to you. And you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not many days. He's speaking to who? To his apostles. And we will stop there. Now again, it's essential that we look closely at the history of the church. And I was kind of arguing with myself whether I should do this, but if we don't know the history of the church, who's going to know the history of the church? And if we don't teach other people the history of the church, the foundation of the church, and what the early church did, and what the church is, how are people going to know? They're not. Now, if you're here this morning and not yet obeyed the gospel, we want to encourage you to take that step. And if you're a brother or sister in Christ, if you need the prayers of this congregation, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.